Parshas Tazria, the Din of Tzaras, stretches across both Tazria and Metzora. You have other Tumos appear at the beginning of Tazria, at the end of Metzora, but the bulk of both Tazria and Metzora are occupied with talking about the Din of Tzaras. There are a lot of details. A lot of details of Tzaras. Tzaras is one of those areas of Halacha where the Torah gives you a tremendous amount of detail already in the Torah Shebichsav. That's clear in the Mishnah, when you learn Mishnah and Nagayim. There's a lot to work with, a lot of details to work from the Torah Shebichsav, and then the Torah Shebapeh adds more in terms of the halachic details. But the beautiful Ramban, the end of Tazria, who zooms out from the halachic details to talk about some of the larger, a number of the larger hafshkafic aspects that are at play. If you're interested in the details, in the both halachic details and scientific details, there is an intriguing, we're not going to look at it now, earlier in Perek Yud Gimel, we're going to look at it around the very end of Tazria, Yud Gimel Mem Zayin, back Yud Gimel Gimel, there's a fascinating Ramban, maybe for some other time, who talks about the halachic and scientific aspects of Tzaras, not the medical aspects of Tzaras, the physics, the optics aspect of Tzaras, because the Torah describes more than once the nega as amok me'or basar. That's deep. The Torah talks about the color. The Torah talks about hairs. The Torah talks about, you know, growth, pision, and so on and so forth. Those are all pretty clearly defined features of a nega. The Mishnayos and the Gemara talk about that also. The Ramban points out, the Pasuk every once in a while will talk about it being deep. So Ramban, Rashi already starts working on the optics. So like, why does it put a nega? And you look at it, look deeper. What sort of optical illusion is that? The nega looks deeper, and the Ramban has more to say. Maybe some other time. Ramban seems in that piece, Yud Gimel Gimel, to be well read in the optics of his time. There was a raging machlokas Arabic scientist over the century or two before the Ramban about how eyesight works, extramission versus intramission. So it seems like the Ramban is taken aside and drawing it from the Psukim with added chidushim that, as far as I know, no scientist to his time had come up with, that scientists nowadays recognize. Ramban seems to be drawing it from the Psukim. So if you're interested in that, the Torah Mahad discussion, you can take a look in Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Gimel, the Ramban. We have to look now, Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Mem Zayin. The Psukim talk about Tzaras in three or four different contexts. The Psukim talk about Tzaras in on a person's body, various places, on skin, on a burn, on a bald spot. The Psukim talk about Tzaras on clothing. It's cloth, it's leather. And then the Psukim talk about Tzaras on a house. The Ramban comments here, Yud Gimel Mem Zayin, HaBegel Shiyibo Nega Tzaras. Psukim up until this point have been talking about various presentations of a nega on a person's body. And now the Torah, for the first time, talks about a non-human presentation of a nega. How about if a nega pops up on a person's clothing? HaBegel T'yebo Nega Tzaras. Says Ramban, Ze Einenu B'teva Klal V'lo Hove Ba'olam. This is not natural. This does not happen in within the context of chemistry and physics. And all of a sudden your clothing pops out a bright green or bright red spots. That's not a natural phenomenon, implying that the discoloration of skin in the way that the Torah describes might be a natural phenomenon, but this sort of discoloration of clothing, this very specific type of discoloration of clothing the Torah describes, we're not talking about a natural phenomenon. And the Ramban says the same is true later on, the Chumash will talk about Tzaras on a house, that is also a nace, nigla, yeah. Why doesn't he mean to try and argue that maybe these discolored spots on the person are actually like oozing this discolored liquid and like that gets on your clothing and that turns your clothing discolored or something like that? Like, could be, it could be. The bear in mind that the Torah describes, as we won't get involved in the details of the song, but something may be familiar with the song, they made a Pasuk famous. The Pasuk doesn't need the song. The color of the Nega Tzaras on a person is typically some shade of white. usually after opening Mishnah in the Gaon based on Pesukim this week's Parsha. The color of the Negev Begadim, however, is a rakrak oladam ben. It's a deep green or a deep red. So we're not talking about the same thing. If it looks like it's a stain or a splotch or a paint spill, then it's not Negev Begadim. Negev Begadim had this nice garment, and then all of a sudden, apropos to no natural cause, suddenly it developed this very striking color. So the Ramban says, and Chavel points out in the opening footnote on the bottom, that the Ramban writes this, and the Kuzri writes this, that the Nige Begadim and Nige Batim are definitely not natural phenomena. We're talking about Nisim. So what does that mean? So the first question Ramban is occupied by, it's interesting, even Nes, a Nes Nigla, Ramban writes elsewhere, usually HaKadosh Baruch Hu does Nes Nigla in order to save Kal Yisrael, or to save a great tzaddik. Occasionally, Ramban points out Parshas Bo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will send a Nes Nigla, as he did with the Nisim of Yetzias Mitzrayim, in order to teach us, or to teach us Ikari Emunah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing a Nes to punish someone? Like in a very specific, narrow way. Really? Kadosh Baruch Hu do a Nes Nigla? Again, Kadosh Baruch Hu, we believe that Emunah Shleima, both the Rambam and the Ramban point out that the first Iker and Emunah, the first Animama, that Kadosh Baruch Hu is Mamsikal in itself, that Kadosh Baruch Hu created and continues to sustain all reality, so that's logically equivalent to the assertion that any Nes Nigla is possible. Kadosh Baruch Hu could do any Nes he wants. If he's the creator of all of physics and chemistry, so he can suspend it at will. But at the same time, that we believe in Emunah Shleima that Kadosh Baruch Hu can, Kadosh Baruch Hu has the ability to do any Nes he wishes, at the same time there are patterns that he himself revealed to us about how he typically functions within this universe, not only patterns of physics, chemistry, and biology, but also there are patterns and patterns of history. Mazel, as we refer to it, in Mazel Yisrael means that Klal Yisrael are not bound by the usual patterns of history. There are also patterns, as we shall point out, that Kadosh Baruch Hu revealed to us about how he chooses typically to do Nisim. Typically do a Nes Nigla Fratzalas, Klal Yisrael, Fratzalas, a great tzaddik, to teach us something. So this is hard to understand. Given the fact that Kadosh Baruch Hu has chosen that pattern for his Nisim Niglim, Ramban is bothered. So, how does this Nes Nigla fit in? Yeah, Eitan?
Would you ask to say about Mesota?
Yeah, that is a good point. That's a very good point. As a matter of fact, Mesota, the Ramban points out there, in the Pirushal Torah, Naso, it's the one time, I think you may have referred to this over the course of the Hilchos Yichud, Mesota, Ramban points out, is the one time that the halachic system involves a Nes Nigla. Because there, I mean, it's true that there are halachos about nige begadim and nige batim, and if you find such a nega, here are the dinim, as the psukim describe, as the mishnayos and the god towards the end of the gom describe. By sot, it's even more so because Kadosh Baruch Hu promises that under certain circumstances a nes nigla will happen, such that even though the wound was a sota safik, if we go through the mesota process and no nes happens, that's considered to be proof that she's from this point on muteras l'bayil. So that's an even that's a havtacha of a nes nigla. Here, Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't promise a nes nigla. It says, if you discover such a nes nigla, here at the dinim, you're right. It is even more striking there. And why would Kadosh Baruch Hu promise a nes nigla? You got to think about it. The Gemaras do talk about even another uniqueness of the halachic uniqueness of the Mesota process is what we do. What are the halachos that Kadosh Baruch Hu calls upon us to do that will either evoke or not evoke the Nes Nigla of Tzav Sabitna is that you have a mitzvah to erase Shem Hashem. Right? You write the psukim, include Shem Hashem, and then you erase them in the water. So the Gemara comments, a very powerful agavata, that you see how powerful Shalom Bayis is, that how you see how much a Kadosh Baruch Hu values a healthy, positive relationship between husband and wife, that he allows his name to be Nimchak in order to restore a family. So So that Agadata already captures. So what one of the Hashkafic uniquenesses of Sota. So that may speak. I don't know if the Gemara says this. We'll see. It may speak also the fact that Kadosh Baruch Hu promises a Neis Nigla, and that the absence such that the absence of Neis Nigla will allow a couple to reunite and hopefully work things out well. So that's also. So there you see Shlom Bayis. Here the question is: Onish for a Rasha with a. Occasionally, a Rasha will get an Onish that's a Neis Nigla. Maybe. Okay, good. That's a good point. That's a very good point. And let's see where the Ramban goes with that. The Yos Yisrael. And you're aware, certainly, of the comment of the Midrash Chazal, the Rashi quotes, the Rambam quotes, the end of Hilchos Tumas Nagam, or Tumas Taras, rather, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as you said, sending messages of Tshuva, and they work from the out in. First the home, and then the Beged, and then the person. If you don't get the first message, it gets closer and closer. The Rambam, I believe, actually presents as four steps. His first will be on your house, which is sort of the most removed from you, personally. And then he says, on your couch. That's how he understands the significance of the Kli'or. It's a furniture. It's a step closer. And that no doubt your parents raised you not to touch the walls of the house too much. But the couch you do sit on, so that's sort of a step closer. And then even closer is the clothing. Then even closer, if one doesn't get the initial message that Kadosh Baruch Hu sends, so they get the alarm gets louder and louder, so to speak. Comes closer and closer. Finally, it's on one's own body. Let's see what the Ramban does with this. B'hiyos Yisrael shalemim l'Hashem. And when Kalal Yisrael have a very, very healthy, whole, perfected relation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yiyeruach Hashem aleim tamid. L'hamid gufam uvigdeim uvatei v'maratov. The fact that things normally are okay, the fact that my body is normally okay, the fact that my clothes are normally okay, the fact that my property is normally okay, that's a result of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's active decision that things should be good. He says that there is something very naturally logical about this, that if there's something going on that's something unhealthy about my relation to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm doing chataim, and I'm introducing something toxic into my relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm limiting the bandwidth, so to speak, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's relationship with me. So then you would expect that the goodness of my body or of my clothes or my property might take a hit. L'haros ki Hashem sar me'alav. And that's a demonstration to me that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is removing some of his direct hashkacha pratis. And the Rabban says, and this explains the following mystery, the following halachic and hashkafic mystery. We have been exploring some of the mitzvot of Baruch the last couple of weeks. Okay, so the Baruchim. You remember a Mishnah we saw in Kiddushin Lamed Vav Lamed Zayin that had a principle about which mitzvot apply only in Eretz Yisrael, which mitzvot apply all over the world. What was the principle that Gemara had? Which mitzvot apply only in Eretz? What category of mitzvot apply only in Eretz Yisrael, usually? What category of mitzvahs apply only in Eretz Yisrael? Huh? Okay, Shemitah, Yovel, good. Trumas and Maestras. And those are examples of? Right, agricultural mitzvahs. Mitzvah Tulias Baretz. Mitzvah Tulias Baretz, the mission says, Ein Ogos El Baretz, with a few exceptions. Kelayim Arla Mevi Chadash. And this is Ein Tulias Baretz. Mitzvah and agricultural, those apply all over the world. Except that also has some exceptions, although the Mishnah doesn't stress it. Here's an example. The Torah says, This is why the Torah said that nigei batim only can happen, only applies in beis eretz achuz aschem, a house in the land that I gave you. So if you live in chutz laaretz, you have a house in chutz laaretz, and you notice, even if you happen to notice what seems like a miraculous nega on the walls of your house in chutz laaretz, it has no halachic significance. That is not. Whether you live in Caracas or Crown Heights or anywhere else, a nega on a house in chutz laaretz has no halachic significance. It does not become. Does not have the dinim of tumas tzaras batim. That the Torah is explicit about that, and he says, and this is why. I mean, this is why, because he's really bothered. What's he bothered by? He's bothered by this kasha. Why would tumas tzaras be limited to Eretz Yisrael? It's not an agricultural mitzvah. Since it's tefillin, tzedakah, Israel lashon hara, kasher Shabbos, taras mishpacha, it applies all over the world. But all of a sudden, there are a few examples. Here's one of them. You have a mitzvah which is not agricultural, and yet the Torah says only in Eretz Yisrael. So whenever you see that, you got to figure out what's going on. Rav Shechter has a beautiful presentation, and we'll talk about more when we get to Chodesh Iyar. We often assume, we often think of Eretz Yisrael as this, you know, Eretz Yisrael is Kedusha Zaretz. Trumas Maisers, Lakat Shechapeya, Shemitah Yovel, and so on and so forth. But the truth is, there are a host of other aspects of Eretz Yisrael other than the fact that the soil is holy. That is certainly a very significant aspect of the halachic uniqueness of Eretz Yisrael. So my father has spoken in the past how there are probably not only not one din of Eretz Yisrael, probably not two, there are probably seven different aspects of the halachic and hashkafic uniqueness of Eretz Yisrael, seven different dimensions to it. So one is that the soil is holy, and therefore the plants, the fruits and vegetables that grow in the soil of Eretz Yisrael have unique kedusha and are bound by all the mitzvot to his baretz. But there are a host of other aspects of Eretz Yisrael. For instance, the fact that you can only have a beis hamikdash be makom karbanos in Eretz Yisrael, and the fact that when you have a beis hamikdash, Eretz Yisrael as a whole has some degree of kedushas hamikdash. That's not Kedushas Haaretz, that's the Kedusha of the soil. And the fact that when you daven, as we learned in Maseches Brachos, you daven facing Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is the Iker Machon Kabbalas HaTfilas. As we noted, the Rambam presents, or Ikonos were pointing out to me many years ago, the Rambam presents in a very, very early, sort of the basic definition of Tfilah, early in the first parak of Hilchas Tfilah. That's not an aspect of Kedushas Haaretz either. The fact that smicha can only be conferred in Eretz Yisrael. The fact that we have 2 days of Yontif, the fact that we have a fixed calendar, we no longer have Kiddush HaChodesh Al Pi HaRi'iyah, that's because smicha can only be conferred in Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, when the Romans, during the middle of the period of the Amoraim, when the Roman persecution was so severe, they finally succeeded in ending the transmission of smicha, the unbroken link, unbroken chain from Moshe Rabbeinu, it ended with Hillel HaSheni in Eretz Yisrael during the lifetime of Bayan Rava, who lived in Bavel. We're talking just the other night, that the Talmud Bavli continued for many generations. The Talmud Yerushalmi ended because of Roman persecution. They also ended Smicha, and thereby ended Kiddush HaChodesh Al Pi HaRi'iyah, because that Smicha, you can't staff a Sanhedrin. But why not? There was ongoing learning in Bavel. The answer is, but Smicha, Torah can be learned all over the world. But smicha can only be conferred, the real smicha, can only be conferred in Eretz Yisrael. But why? Talmud Torah happens all over the world. So these are some of the mysteries of many different dinim. Egla Rufa only applies in Eretz Yisrael. That's clearly not an agricultural mitzvah. Ramban says, one of those mysteries is right here. What's with nigei batim? And he says, here's the answer. Ulakach amar akasim rasati negatras beis eretz achuzasim. And that's why. Here's why the Torah said that nigei batim only applies in Eretz Yisrael. Why dafka Eretz Yisrael? His kasha presumably is, but it's not a mitzvah tuli baretz. So what's uniquely Eretz Yisraelic about the nigei batim? The answer is, this speaks to a different aspect of Eretz Yisrael. Not the fact that Eretz Yisrael has kedusha sa'aretz, if the soil is holy. Ki himakas Hashem bebayis ahu. Negebatim is a maka that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is directly inflicting, a nes nigla, on that house. A demonstration, as he said a line earlier, it's a physical manifestation of the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sort of stepped back half a step from this house. It'd be less direct Hashgacha Pratis on this house. V'hinei enen noeg ela ba'aret, shinachas Hashem. Kemo sha'amar, ki savo el eretz kenan. Asher nino sein lachem la'achuza. It only applies, the Pasuk says, only applies in the land that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us as nachla. But ain't a davar p'nei ha'yosel chobas karka. Here he says explicitly, it's not because it's a mitzvah tzuliya ba'aretz, a chobas hakarka, and that's a kasha. Again, Rabban Kidarko just sort of says it, but he's asking a kasha. So if it's not mitzvah tzuliya ba'aretz, so then according to the Mishnah Kiddushin Lama Vavva Beit Lama Zayim and Aleph, it ought to apply equally all over the world. So why does it apply uniquely here? The answer is it's not because of, you're right, that it's not mentioned that Mishnah because it's not part of Kiddushin Sa'aretz. It's part of it because of a different aspect of Eretz Yisrael. The whole idea, whole concept is only relevant in the land that Kadosh Baruch Hu chose, Eretz HaNivcheres, which has a greater degree of Hashras HaShchina. Kadosh Baruch Hu Shochin Eretz Yisrael. Rabban is going to write in a couple weeks from now, in the middle of Chumash VaYikra, when the Torah talks about if Jews Rachman Aslan violate Arayos, so we endanger our hold on Eretz Israel. It may lead to Galus, and it can lead to, and the Rabban there develops the idea that although Arayos is not a mitzvah tzuli baretz, and it's not a mitzvah that applies only in Eretz Israel, Arayos apply all over the world. The Isur Arayos apply equally. Regardless of your geography, it doesn't matter whether you're in Eretz Yisrael, Chutz La'aretz. But even a mitzvah that applies equally over the world, even out there that applies equally over the world, this is the same mitzvah Losa said. But to violate Ratzon Hashem in Eretz Yisrael is a worse chet, because Ramban says in the Paltin Shel Melech, in the palace of the king, in the palace of the king, you violate his will. It's a greater chutzpah. It's a greater slap in the face, so to speak, to Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's a greater lack of derech eretz to Kadosh Baruch Hu. That in, so to speak, in a situation of greater presence of Kadosh Baruch Hu, in his royal palace, you defy his will. You use the life and the resources that he gave you to do the opposite of what he wants you to do. So that's a more egregious chet than if I did the same chet in chutzpah. Even for a din that does apply all over the world. That's true positively also. Rabban famously says in Chumash Dvarim that even the mitzvahs that apply in Chutz La'aretz, but you do them in Eretz Yisrael, they're more profoundly meaningful. Eretz Yisrael is the ideal place for fulfilling all the mitzvahs, even the mitzvahs which apply all over the world. And here, and why is that like this? That's a positive aspect of the same idea. You're in a situation of greater presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, greater connectedness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So your mitzvah is that much more meaningful. Your mitzvah, meaning acting the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to act, is that much more potent and meaningful. It's profoundly meaningful all over the world. It's even more meaningful in a situation of greater presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And here the Rabban is saying, a situation of a greater presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so that's where it's more logical that my chet is causing a divine retraction, so to say, and my chet is causing that as a result, you see, you're going to see the impact of your chet more in Eretz Yisrael. Only a house in Eretz Yisrael will actually show signs that because of my chet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is stepping away from me a little bit. And that's the demonstration of the Negebatim. And then he goes on to say, well, if it's, he quotes the Torah's Kohanim, a Medrash Chazal on Medrash Halacha on Chumash Vayikra. Torah is coming to number 56. Dor she'od she'ena bayis metame el acher kibush v'chiluk. She'kol echad ve'echad makira shalom. Torah's Kodem says that the dinim of Nigei Baltim not only applied to Eretz Yisrael, but only applied began to apply 14 years after. Only began to apply 14 years after we came into Eretz Yisrael. Chazal reminds us time and again, based on Pesukim in Yoshua, that they spent 7 years conquering Eretz Yisrael, another 7 years dividing Eretz Yisrael. That's the bulk of Sefer Yoshua, describes the kibush and the chiluk of Eretz Yisrael, divided into Shvatim and then into smaller and smaller parts until finally each person had his individual chiluk in Eretz Yisrael. So, Eina bayis matame el achar kibush v'chiluk. She'kol echad v'echar makar shalom. After the 14 years, when each person knew this is my personal acre in Eretz Yisrael. Now, then he wants to explain why, the Hatam. Why does he want to explain why? Let me take a question in a second. Why does he want to explain why? The din is all the mitzvot tzuyos ba'aretz, trumas and maaseros and shemitah and yovel, so on and so forth. The first yovel was not 50 years after they came into Eretz Yisrael. The first yovel, Chazal tells, was 64 years after they came into Eretz Yisrael. The first shemitah was 21 years after they came into Eretz Yisrael because kedushas ha'aretz only began after the sheva shekavshu, the sheva shechilku, the mekadesh of Eretz Yisrael. During the time of Yehoshua was the Kibush Aret, the Kibush V'chiluk. Chiluk was the Gemara Kibush. It was the conquest that was Mekadosh Eretz Yisrael. So all the mitzvot of Tzuyos Baris only applied after Kibush V'chiluk. But here the Rabban feels the need to explain why is it that Nigei Batim applies only after Kibush V'chiluk. So why does he feel the need to explain? Because as he just said, Nigei Batim is not a mitzvah tzuyos baretz, and therefore it's not a function of kedushas haaretz. It's a function of, as he says, the eretz hanivcheres. It's the place that Kadosh Baruch Hu chose to have the greatest hashraas hashchina. So that didn't start with kibush v'chiluk. So if it was kedushas, if it's telling kedushas haaretz, the kedusha of the soil, shmita and yovel. I understand you need the kibush v'chiluk to mekadesh Eretz Yisrael. This isn't a function of kedushas haaretz. This is a function of Eretz HaNevcheres. So that's presumably why the Ramban is bothered. Well, why would Nigei Batim depend on kibush v'chiluk? And indeed, in general, the dinim that don't depend on kibush haaretz applied even before kibush v'chiluk. So why is this different? He says, no. Hatam ki, another piece of the recipe. Ki aznis yashva daita maleim ladasis Hashem. V'sishvatishre shchina b'socham. Rabban says, no, you're right, it wasn't at that. It wasn't kedushas haaretz, but the kibush v'chiluk it was only after they were settled, physically, that they were settled in their mind. Aznis yashva daita. And with greater yishva das, it's possible to have a greater hashras hashchina. It's just as a Chazal comment that based on Pesukim in the Tanakh, that Nevuah is only Shora Mitoch Simcha, that he can again and again, Vatielav Rach Hashem. That Nevuah came once he was in a happier mood because of the music. So that's just probably similar to what the Ramban is saying here. The cause, not just a question, Nevuah is a very high level of Ashras HaShchina, but Bechav, Ashras HaShchina, all Klal Yisrael enjoyed in Eretz Yisrael, that they had that set in fully only after the Zayin Shekavshu, the Zayin Shechilku, not because there was Kedushas Haaretz, but because then they were more at peace. And then the Ramban says, V'chein ani choshei v'nega begadim. I think it's true for Nigei Begadim also. Shlayina Goel Baretz only applies in Eretz Yisrael. The Torah didn't say that explicitly. The Torah did say explicitly that Nigei Batim apply only in Eretz Yisrael. He said he would think that's true for Nigei Begadim as well. Flahutach Lamai Ben Chutz Laretz. The Torah didn't have to say it explicitly. Why? K'lo Yerusham Le'olam. It won't happen. It's a Neis Nigla. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu will choose not to do that Neis Nigla on the Begadim in Chutz Laretz. The Rabban says, if I had to guess, I would assume that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would indeed never provide nigei begadim in chutzlaretz. Or mipneze od, that this is going back again to his first idea, that it's a nace. Again, the Ramban opened with the idea that nigei begadim, nigei batim are nace. And the first point he drew from that is we need to understand why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing such an ace. It seems to be not in keeping with the typical patterns of Nisim. And the answer was, it's an expression of a high level of Hashgacha and correspondingly lower level of Hashgacha once a person is Choteh. And that speaks to detail number two that explains why Nigei Batim only applies in Eretz Yisrael, because that's where we have the potential for a much higher level of Hashgacha practice. And again, is consistent with Ramban's general approach, like the Rambam, that there's a sliding scale of Hashgacha practice. That sometimes Hashem Baruch Hu, depending on how a person behaves and where a person places himself, have a greater or lesser degree of Hashgacha practice. And then the third point, in addition, that flows from Nigei Begadim, Nigei Batim being miraculous, in addition to the fact that it's, as he explained, the rationale is its expression of the dent in Hashgacha Pratis that happens when I do a chet. And number two, that's why it's only in Eretz Yisrael. And explain number three, why specifically after Kibush V'chiluk, because that's an important nekuda. Hashras Hashchina has to do with my decisions. I'll have greater kibush Hashem if I behave properly. B, I'll be a great kibush Elokim if I'm in Eretz Yisrael. And see, I'll have greater kibbutz elokim if I'm calm and at peace. And he says another angle of the fact that it's a nace, both the nigei begadim and nigei batim are nace, and therefore he thinks what he said about Eretz Yisrael specific applies to nigei begadim as well. And Mipneze explains another halachic detail of nigei begadim as well. Mipneze od. Einam noagim el bevegadim levanim lo betzivuim. Says now does this explain why nigei batim, and he thinks also nigei begadim are only applying Eretz Yisrael. It also explains why the Mishnah has pointed out that nigei begadim only apply to white clothing. That Charles Tirrett white shirt, you go to your closet in Haifa or Chashmonaim or Chomesh. And you pull out the shirt, and that white shirt, lo and behold, has this Yirak or Adam Dam spot on it. Wow, okay. That may, you guys need to consult with the Kohen. Maybe this is Nigei Begadim. Because where I live in Haifa or Chashmonaim or Chomesh, or any other location in Eretz Yisrael, whether it begins with a Ches or not, lends itself to far greater Hashoah Hashchina, and therefore that's when my Chet, despite the Hashoah Hashchina, might manifest as a nace in my clothing. He says only on a white shirt, not on a blue shirt, only on white pants, not on tan pants. Why not? Not because, I should stress, Ramban does not entertain the possibility that there's more Hashras Hashina on a white shirt than a colored shirt. Oh, so then, why is it only applied to Begadim Levanim? He says no. This goes back to your point before, Yitzi. Because if there's a discoloration on a colored garment, so I don't know, is that miraculous or is that just something's happening? The color is running. Maybe it wasn't so color fast, and the color is coagulating, the color is running. And it's not as clear that it's an etzpa elokim. Fascinating use of language. Obviously, etzpa elokim is a reference to the Makos, right? And that's when the Mitzrim began to recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is at work. And that's exactly, it's a very apt reference. Because he's saying, that's exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing when he gives you a nega. You realize, etzpa elokim, you realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved in this world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the show, and I ought to align myself with Ratzon Hashem. That was what the Mitzvah was supposed to learn from the Makos. Unfortunately, it took them a long time to learn that lesson. But that's Etzpa Elokim. Lefikach hatzvun b'idei shamayim etamik et rebshim. Okay. That's why if something is naturally, this is machlokes satanam about something that's naturally colored. Because then it's not as likely that the color is running. And then he says, not only does the miraculousness of nigei begadim and batim explain why it applies only to Eretz Yisrael, explain why it applies only to white clothing, it also explains a third wrinkle in the psukim. The Torah keeps repeating that same pismon throughout the psukim about nigei begadim, the clothing or the leather or the thread, whether it's meant for warp or weft, shasi or erev. So he points out, there are plenty of, on the level of medrash, there are additional levels of interpretation. The psukim are teaching me various dinim, halachic details about nigei begadim. But Aderech Pshat, he says, Ki adavar neis. The point is, this is absolutely miraculous. This is something that we're not discussing a natural phenomenon. That's what the Torah keeps stressing. Yes, you found discoloration on clothing. Yes, you found discoloration on leather, on thread. The Torah keeps repeating the wonder of it. Yes, I'm talking about something that's absolutely miraculous. Something you do not expect to find this sort of discoloration on. Naturally colored, undyed cloth, undyed leather, undyed thread, really? Yes. That's what Torah keeps pounding away at this. The Rabban sees multiple reflections in the psukim of the fact that nigei begadim and nigei batim are miraculous, are nisim niglim, and in that, although we have not had practiced the dinim of nigei begadim and nigei batim for many, many centuries, but the yusodos of hashkafa that flow from this are very, very relevant. Number one, an appreciation of the unique and specific roles typically that Nisan occupy, and how HaKadosh Baruch Hu tends to use and deploy Nisan, and a recognition of some of the spiritual mechanics of Ashuras HaShechina. To recognize Ashuras HaShechina, the degree to which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is directly or indirectly involved in my life, how direct will HaKadosh Baruch Hu involve me in my life versus how indirect will it be, that depends on a few factors. It depends on the decisions that I make to act more or less in accordance with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will, and their geographical factors. The spiritual geography of Eretz Yisrael lends itself to greater Kirvas Elokim, to greater Hashras HaShechina, not because of Kedushas is Aretz, but because it's the Eretz HaNevcheres. And he explains the third factor, is the degree to which I'm happy and calm. Not only will it impact someone who's a rare Jew who's on the Madrega to get Nevuah, will need to be Besimcha in order to get Nevuah, but even for you and I, the degree to which I'm not eligible for Nevuah anyhow, but the degree to which I enjoy Kirbas Elokim, there'll be greater Hashuras HaShechina when I have a greater Yishuv Hadas. But those are all three very, very significant factors in Kirvas Elokim and Hashuras HaShechina that flow from a careful examination of what, you know, Tazria Mitzorah. Everyone was joking about the drushes. Last week, Shabbos drushes. But, you know, Tazria Mitzorah is, for many Rabbanim, you know, can be very challenging. You know, what drush are you going to give? You talk about the Lashon Hara, or it's usually, it's often Pesach time. But the truth is, the Rabban's point in the warp and weft, in the guts, in the halachic details, and the details of the psukim about nigei begadim and nigei batim seems like such a obscure, esoteric din, super, super relevant ideas in terms of our own personal growth. What are the factors that impact Kirvas Elokim? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved with every single human being, regardless. But the extent to which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is directly hands-on will depend on my decisions, where I put myself, and my state of mind, and above all, how I deploy my Bechira Chavshis, the extent to which I behave properly. If I behave improperly, I am causing a certain degree of distance between myself and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and, with this postscript, at the same time, Even if, even if I did chataim, chataim that warrant an onish, chataim that warrant that Kadosh Baruch Hu in return is stepping back somewhat, but it's not Kadosh Baruch Hu is all of a sudden disconnected, doesn't care, unengaged, disengaged, and all of a sudden, no, Adrava, that Kadosh Baruch Hu will communicate to me that I made a terrible error and that my chet is causing a partial retraction, and that I ought to do tshuva. And there's a whole process. It's not that Kadosh Baruch Hu will stop caring about me, but Kadosh Baruch Hu will be slightly less hands-on with me, and tshuva can fix that.